Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
Batman to save you.
It's simple. We kill
the Bat of Gotham.
I'm Batman.
Hey now, welcome to episode number 44 of the Batman on Film Social Hour. This one, I'm going to give a shout out and nod to Robert Newhouse. This is the Robert Newhouse episode of the Social Hour, number 44. Know anything about Robert Newhouse, senior?
That's a name I don't know. I'm assuming he's a cowboy, and I'm assuming
he did play for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fullback.
Okay, all right, let me
Cowboys
sense.
For about 11, 12 years. So back in the day when fullbacks were still used regularly in football. All right, so we're going to get right to
it.
Okay.
As someone who doesn't know this, and this is the perfect opportunity, what is the difference between a fullback, a halfback, and a running back?
Okay, both are running backs, right?
Okay.
Fullback traditionally is the back in the day when there would be two backs in the backfield, two running backs in the backfield. This would be the one closest to the quarterback.
Right.
And they were generally like blockers, blocking backs. Halfbacks and tailbacks are the same thing for the most part.
They're just different names.
Yeah. So.
And the fullback is pretty much extinct.
Yes. You see a lot of fullback work if you watch football, like when tight ends go in motion across and they'll go sideways and then they'll lead block or they'll trap, things like that, or kick out. That was the old fullback position. Like in the '90s, the Cowboys of the '90s, Darrell Johnston was
I remember the big fullback when I was growing up was Allstott. I mentioned earlier.
He played a little tailback too, Allstott. So
he did a lot of interesting things down there in Tampa Bay.
So yeah, well, let's talk some Batman. I am Bill Jett Ramey. I'm the founder of Batman on Film, in case you didn't know. And with me, and I already mentioned Peter Vera, senior BOF contributor. Peter Vera. And Peter, it is 2022. So
you know what that means.
We can say the Batman is coming this year.
That's right. That's right. We are a few months away from a glorious day, which we believe will be a glorious day. Just something that we all will really enjoy and come together with and be happy and new.
I mean, what's it? It's down to 50 something days now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We are under 2 months. So, you know, getting excited.
I can probably say, and I'm not
crazy, it's here, right? Almost kind of like, wow, like so many delays, COVID, everything, life, just it's like, oh man, it's coming. And you know, I'll be down there from a gumbo.
I can say probably, and I'm not bragging or gloating, I can say also I will see the Batman next month. So I'm expecting
wow, look at you, get a little sneak peek.
Yeah, I'm expecting.
You're seeing it next month. Lauer's flying it in. He's not going to the game. He's going to go see it the day of him and Haas because they can't wait. Everyone's going to see this movie but me. I'm the only BOFer who hasn't seen this movie. Rick saw it yesterday, I heard. I heard he got that special cut. I saw Rick saw it yesterday. He was telling me.
That one was too good. I don't even have a comeback for that. I'm just gonna let that stand alone right there. So yeah. Okay. Yes, but we'll be seeing it here shortly. Today is the 5th. Actually, so the watch party is 2 months from today because it's gonna be March the 5th. the day after the release. So,
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to get the main focus is going to be here on the Social Hour is I wrote an article saying could 2022 be the best Batman on film year to date? And that's saying a lot because we've got 2008 and we have 1989, which were huge Batman years. But there's a little different. The different. I'm not saying we're going to
get. There's never been a Batman tag team in one
year. Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm not saying we're going to get like that level of Batmania that we experienced in those 2 years with Batman 89 and The Dark Knight. But I'm saying, I mean, we'll get to it in a minute. So let's start off with, you know, we had the holidays, we had New Year's. So I don't know. Some of this is stuff I covered on Batman on film and you know, in print, I guess, if you want to call it that, on the website. I don't know how I've talked a lot about this on a Social Hour, and some of this stuff was on a podcast. So, but anyway, Michael Keaton is going to be in Batgirl.
Shocked, utterly shocked.
Where are you? That came out of nowhere, didn't it?
It came out of nowhere maybe like 6 months ago. I don't know. I don't know when it was first.
I recall
recorded. I just
someone
it's nothing new
writing an article like exactly a year ago saying that it was.
Did I share that article?
I believe someone wrote an article saying that it was a strong possibility that Michael Keaton after The Flash would appear in a Batgirl movie. Batgirl was one of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
That happened, right? That article was written.
It was written. It was. I feel like this is just a thing that happens every once in a while on slow days. You know, like we're just as you said, we're leaving the holiday season essentially, so everybody's kind of getting back on track and. You know, somebody just needed to kind of have something snowball a little bit, and they achieved their goal, obviously, because everyone keeps talking about it. But this isn't anything new. You know, if you've been paying attention to, you know, reputable sites and accounts.
That would
definitely would have heard
the one who wrote that was me a year ago. And I even mentioned it before that. And I'm not the only one, so I'm not going to say that it was like this major scoop, but it was,
I mean, at one point like it was called like Keaton was going to be like the Fury of the DC. Like, I don't know how literally we're supposed to take that, but you know, he's at least in these two movies. And I read your article today, and just before the show to, you know, just kind of make sure we're on the same page. And you know, I agree with you. I think Batgirl's totally heading to theaters. I don't see Keaton doing a, you know, I feel like this is a Keaton movie, right? Like it's just another.
Yeah. Well, he's done Netflix, in the Renaissance. You know, he's done.
Yeah. I guess, but it's Batman. Like, I just feel like this is like a big screen thing where he gets, you know, he's got a great contract deal or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, this just feels like a big, big screen.
I would hope that I would like to see it go to the big screen. A lot of that has to do with Keaton being in it, and that
I mean, if The Flash is received well, I think it's totally
good. Yeah, my interest level has gone up tremendously, even though I knew it was a possibility. I mean, like just a straight up Batgirl movie, I'm like, yeah, I mean, okay, I'll watch it, but it's not like my jam. But with Keaton in it, yeah. And I knew that and heard for my gosh for a year and a half. So once he signed on to do The Flash, that there would be more than just The Flash. And that, you know, there could be some sort of riff off of Dark Knight Returns / Batman Beyond, where he's, you know, I don't think Batgirl is in the future, like the future from The Flash, and he's like 90.
No.
But I mean, Keaton is 70, so I think it's more of a mentor, protege, successor.
It deal, seems flat. You know? The Flash movie is going to be more Flashpoint than we think it is.
Yes.
Maybe not in essentially the how, the why, but just what it does. Like, there's going to be a new continuity. There's an older Batman.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, it's a newer version. And it's kind of like those animated movies where we talk about, like, while we do appreciate the page for page adaptation or something about the inspired by. You know, this movie seems to be heavily inspired by Flashpoint, staying very, very faithful to Flashpoint, but also creating its own thing. And that's what's really got me interested is, like, it's like, I like animated Hush and I like the book Hush. Like, mm-hmm. I know I'm one of the few people who does that. So, like, the fact that I got these two great Hush things, I think is really great for me. So, as a fan, I kind of look at it that way. Like, if
you know where I stand on that Flash stuff. Points, yeah. I prefer the Inspired By, just like what you mentioned, Hush, and Gotham by Gaslight, and mm-hmm. the Long Halloween, which we got last year. Yeah.
And then Year One, Dark Knight Returns, or the page for page, like, you know, like I appreciate that they're doing this in live action now. I think that's mm-hmm. that's great. Like, you know, and while let's say like BVS is kind of inspired by Dark Knight Returns, it's not really, it's different, you know.
Oh, it's big time different. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's like you said, I forget when you were talking to Lauer, I think on the Chronicles.
That was
the reason why they fight's different. You know, like the fight is similar, the armor's similar, but it's how everything comes together is different. Yeah. And this seems to be way more closer to source material.
Yeah.
We'll see. Like it could be drastically different. Who knows what the hell happens, but
yeah.
You know. So Keaton comes out Batman Beyond, it's just, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Is like that's really a great segue because and this is something else that was also known. And it shouldn't be a shocker, but it's the Flash is going to reset. What's the best way to put it? Tell me, it's going to reset the timeline.
They're creating a new timeline. They're taking basically the Snyderverse, everything that came before it, which I guess in this case is Batman 89, and together they're going to they're going to do some kind of weird merger, and I don't think it's a new timeline. That's what it is. They're creating
it's a new timeline, but then that will also mean there's a new past once it's reset.
Yeah. But probably Flash will be the only one who remembers both. It'll be like one of those deals.
It's not like all of a sudden everybody's going, well, this other Batman is now Batman here. I mean, it's not going to be that. It's just going to be...
By the end of the movie, it's all just going to be like, that's the way it always was.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting. Exactly. That's the way it always was. That's a great way to put it. Keaton will be... he's in Batgirl. I don't know if he'll appear in any other films. Maybe it's just he'll just do Batman-type riffs and movies. But basically... Batgirl will be the Bat person along with Keaton as a mentor. Supergirl will be the super person in that world, this new world. And then there's going to be some people who return as well. You know, Jason Momoa's Aquaman, Wonder Woman. And it's just, you know, it's going to be
like a comic book.
Yeah,
it doesn't get more comic booky than that, does it?
Yeah, I mean it's Crisis, whatever, Flashpoint, whatever you want to use for examples. It sounds exactly what it is, and I think the key thing is two things. It's not going to erase. I mean, literally, I've said this. It's not like the Flash comes out November 4th of next year, and everyone's magically. Everyone's Blu-rays and digital purchases disappear. Well, it's not that. And did
Batman Begins erase Batman and Robin? No.
No.
And that's a new timeline. That's a reboot,
a different continuity, a different.
That's what the new timeline
world
is.
Or universe. You know.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Going back to Batgirl, what I'm going to be interested in is the Gordon, Commissioner Gordon, mm-hmm. Batman dynamic, because they're going to be contemporaries now. You know, Batman's Gordon's not going to be 10, 15 years older than Bruce Wayne. Keaton and J.K. Simmons are roughly the same age. I think mm-hmm. J.K. Simmons is like 4 years younger than him.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that Gordon has to be 4 years younger than Bruce Wayne. You know what I mean? In the movie. They're actors, you know?
They could be the same age. They both can be retired.
Yeah.
Right? Like, who knows how this plays out? We'll see. I'm not sure. I don't remember I guess Commissioner Gordon is active. I don't know how active he is. I don't remember if that was the case.
I bet you that the aesthetic of Gordon with J.K. Simmons is a little different than it was in the Snyder films.
That'd be interesting to see. I'm curious. Maybe maybe he has colored hair. Maybe
I would not doubt if he does. I would not surprise me if he has reddish hair, not brown, not gray. Maybe the first redhead Gordon in a movie. Oh,
that would be interesting. That's a good way to also say, hey, look, you know, new timeline. This is different. Yeah. You know, this is, a variant. You know, this is what sometimes it's weird. Like sometimes we've gotten to the point in comic movies where like sometimes the characters are now because of legacy characters and recastings, they look mm-hmm. like they've always looked. And then other characters look totally different in every interpretation.
Yeah.
Like every version of J. Jonah Jameson just looks like J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Whereas all the Spider-Men look totally different.
Yeah. Well, they even worked that into No Way Home is like, you know, when Peter, when the Tom Holland Spider-Man was unmasked by Doc Ock, mm-hmm. he's like, you're not Peter Parker, you know? Yeah. So they played into the fact that they all don't look alike. So that was cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
One last thing about Batgirl that I'm interested in, besides, you know, it's got to come out after, it would have to come out after The Flash. The Flash is November.
I'd expect it to, yeah.
So, golly, I don't see them moving it to the big screen like in December. So close to The Flash. So it could possibly, if they move
maybe
it.
Maybe they'll wait till after the new year.
If they move it to the big screen, it will have to be like 2023, I would imagine. And
late January.
I would also, one last thing about Batgirl. I think they're about to do some on location filming over in Scotland. So I would not be surprised if they get a shot of
Firefly.
Of Leslie Grace. It could be, you know, they may do some character.
I'd like to see some Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
See that Firefly outfit.
It depends on who is going to be filming on location outside. Where you,
I believe they're all going to be out there. I think.
Well, then they.
In an interview, Simmons says he was heading out after the new year.
Okay.
So I believe he's there, so we'll see. Maybe. He's
well, going to win I would imagine they will. They usually do put out, you know, a video or, you know, publicity steals. Get them out there before we see the crappy. Out of context cell phone pills.
I just hope she has like a motorcycle that pops out of a brick wall. Like that's all I want.
Oh, it's got. I'm still hoping.
I'd love something to honor Yvonne.
She should be like a cop and a librarian at the same time. Is that if that's
maybe
possible.
She works in like the records office of like the police department or something?
Yeah,
kind of like a little hybrid of both.
Speaking of that,
maybe she's an intern. I don't know. Maybe she wants to be a cop and she's following in her father's footsteps and she's an interning. Something interesting like that.
It's Officer Barbara Gordon is on that beginning of the production image, right? That they put out.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
And speaking of that, look at that office setup. It
feels
very
70s.
Very
maybe like
80s. Yeah, it's got a Batman 89 type, you know, timeless aesthetic. So okay, let's get to the main thing here. Before we get to that. Batman TV spots, they're starting to pop up. Mm-hmm. They cut down the Batcat trailer and we got it. I've saw this Batcat TV spot. I saw it online. I have seen it on TV. So that's picking up. So with this 2 months out, that thing should start rolling big time.
I've been trying to stay as quiet as I possibly can. I want to try to go in as dark. I haven't watched the Batcat trailer.
Oh, you did not watch?
No, I have as much as everyone else. I have watched it. I don't need to see anymore. I just need to get to the theater. Sorry.
The only thing I said about that is I don't want any more new footage. I don't want another trailer. If you do a Super Bowl spot, these TV spots,
run one of the old ones.
Use the footage. Use the footage we already got. Cut it up different. Whatever, but nothing. I don't need anything else new. I hope, you know. And all right, 2022. So in 2 months we get the Batman. In November we get the Flash with both Michael Keaton, and his role is substantial. Michael mm-hmm. Keaton's Batman. It's like the co-lead or second lead. And then Ben Affleck.
He gets top billing, right? Does he get top billing?
He would have. If Jack Nicholson got top billing in Batman 89, and he played the Joker. You know, this time Michael Keaton should get top billing over Ezra Miller, but I don't know. It could be one of those, you know, at the kind of like they did with Morgan Freeman in the Dark Knight trilogy posters. He's like the last one, and more, you know, it was always and Morgan Freeman, Christian Bale, Michael Caine, Liam Neeson, Katie Holmes, Gary Oldman, and Morgan Freeman. Why don't they do a and Michael Keaton?
Maybe.
In that. So we get that. Ben Affleck plays his version of Batman at some point in the film, gets his cool way to segue it out of the role. So we get two. So in 2022, we're getting three Batmans and two different films. And hell, I'm counting, since Keaton's role is so big, like I said in that article I wrote, I'm going to count it as a Batman film. Sorry. Look at the trailer we got.
That's the second time he's hijacked someone else's movie.
You know? What's Batman? Come on. So my question is, movie. And then if Batgirl comes out in 2022, then there is, you know, Batgirl is a Batman.
That's a good run.
Batman character, and Keaton is in Batgirl. So could be three different films that we get, three different Batman films we get. So could 2022, I'll ask you, Peter, could 2022 be the best? Is it the best? Let me ask you right now, just right now, despite box office, critical acclaim, critical non-acclaim, whatever, is 2022 the best Batman on film year we've ever had to date?
It might be. It very well might be.
Just based on the fact how much Batman on film we're getting?
It's just, it's got to be quality Batman, you know? Because the last time we had anything close to this was kind of 2016, because we had BVS and we had Suicide Squad. So, you know, even though he was just kind of a cameo, it's like seeing Batman on the big screen twice in a year. It's still exciting. But, you know, Keaton's role is much larger. And obviously Pattinson's movie is just gigantic. So. Mm-hmm. This could be great. I'm really looking forward to it. It's got to just, in my eyes, it's tough to beat 2008. I lived through that, so I remember that very vividly. 89, I missed out on. I remember 95 from a child's perspective. I think 95 gets forgotten a lot these days. I think that Batmania was there. It wasn't the largest one, no, but it was still present. You know, especially as a kid, it's even bigger, you know. So the 95 Batmania gets a lot. I think we'll have a solid.
There was I was there.
It was a good Batmania 95.
There was a lot of buzz. It was a good buzz and a lot of anticipation for Batman Forever. Absolutely. Yeah,
People forget
Batman Forever was a big hit.
Lumped in, unfortunately.
Yeah. So,
but I think that's a good one. 2008 is just tough because the movie's aces. Everything's perfect. It's like we're all in La La Land. You know, I wasn't around for 89, but I've heard the stories. I've listened to you and Mr. You talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've kind of lived through two of them. I would love to see another one from a more adult age and kind of judge it differently. Anything's better than what we've gotten recently. So that wasn't fun. So I'm looking forward to kind of this being fun. And like that's part of it, too. And, you know, I think, from a kid's perspective, 95 is so special because of the merchandising. And if you guys want to criticize that for ruining the movie in the long run, I get it. But as from a kid, like that Batmania is huge because not only is the movie awesome from my perspective at like 8 years old, but like that Christmas is just kick ass. I'm getting Batmobiles, action figures, villains, Robins, motorcycle. Like I got my tree turned into Wayne Manor.
Is there, you know, as someone like that, I was an adult. I was just graduated college in 89.
It's different for you.
And I can say that, yes, there was merchandise, but the movie ruled. And
that's where 08 comes in. And you look at that and you're like, that thing is unbelievable. Like the Dark Knight is something totally different. And because of like the way they use the internet and viral marketing, it created such a buzz. So that's something totally on a different level.
My prediction is for 2022, I think the Batman is going to have a little bit of Batmania because for a lot of reasons. It's the first solo Batman film. And frankly, you can't discount how big of a fan base Robert Pattinson has. You combine all that together, being Batman, Pattinson, his fan base, and the fact it's Batman.
I think it's going to be big. I had no idea Pattinson was this popular until you became, like, because I could care less about anything this guy does outside of Batman, to be really honest. But, like, I had no idea this guy had this fan base.
Huge. He's a huge fan base. I'd say he's the biggest fan. I think he is has the biggest fan base of any actor who's played Batman. Period.
Interesting. What happens when they get angry?
I mean, Christian Bale had a niche. He was a cult figure.
Did he?
You know, at that time. Keaton was good.
Affleck was probably the biggest star to ever play
Star,
Batman,
but
right? And there comes a certain amount of attention with that.
He's the biggest star, but Ben Affleck doesn't have this huge built-in fan base.
No, he doesn't. Which is interesting. I'm interested to see what.
Maybe Clooney did, because of
I think Clooney was still up and coming. I think that's why he did Batman.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. He was big on ER when he got that.
He was big on TV. Yeah.
Yeah, he was big, and he'll admit that. That doing Batman opened up a lot of things for him. So I will say that we may not hit Batmania like we've seen before, but I think it's going to be, I think 2022 is going to be a big Batman year, because you're going to get the Batman. It's going to have its run, and it's almost kind of like by itself for a long time. It's going to have its way with, you know, the main thing and
this, like,
theaters.
To be honest, this almost feels kind of begins a Nolan-ish, and I know a lot of people criticize us because we're saying that, but it almost feels like the Batman's kind of slipping under the radar, and more people are now seeing and talking about it, and then, you know, like, the sequel is going to create a lot of buzz.
I think it's I can see the comparison.
Those vibes from this.
I think it's going to be bigger because Batman Begins came out in a completely different era of comic book superhero cinema. It was just, it's night and day. It's apples and oranges, because, you know, comic book movies, superhero movies are huge now. They weren't in 2005.
No, now they are basically every movie in the
I mean, they are big. They are mainstream.
They dominate the box
office. I mean, with Begins was a crapshoot because it was coming off, you know, Batman and Robin, and people were literally saying then, another Batman movie, you know? After they had ran it off, and this is
kind of like when we thought X-Men was dead, right? Like after what's it called, Last Stand? That was like
X-Men.
'03.
Of course, you had Spider-Man. What was that? 2000.
Spider-Man, because the first one came out. It was 2000, 2002, and then 07, right?
Okay, so I mean, you're even with those, with X-Men, Spider-Man, and then. It was just a different, completely different. It's just completely different.
Six.
You know? Yeah. So, and Batman, a lot to do with the Dark Knight trilogy in terms of his place on, like, amongst the mainstream when it comes to superhero films. He's huge. Batman's big, you know? And if.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's got a. We'll see. I'm curious. Spider-Man just took the title of, like, the highest grossing, like, comic book movie or something. It just moved past the Dark Knight. No way.
Moved past the Dark Knight.
And I'm kind of like, all right, well, let's see what Mr. Reeves got. Let's see if he can, it just stinks that it's like, I want Batman to have that title back as, like, a Batman fan, but as a Spider-Man fan, like, I think it's great that, you know, he still has it, but as a Batman primary fan, you're like, oh, man. We got a box office for our hands. Spider-Man versus Batman. I hope the movie's good and it generates a lot of money. Like I just I hope people enjoy this. I'm excited for it.
It's going to be a very different from anything we've seen with a Batman film before.
I hope so.
And it's the only way. So your prediction. I mean, do you think? Take away. Like matching or getting to the level of 08 and 89, just based on the fact that there's going to be so much Batman on film, live action content in 2022. Is it the is it the best Batman on film year to date?
It has the potential to be. I can't say it is until I see the movies, but it has the potential to be. If the movies are awesome, then yes, it is.
Okay. As long as if the movies are good and they do relatively well, yes. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the fact that we don't reach 66, 89, 08 Batmania, right?
If we can get to like a 95, I think that'd be fine.
That like very small level of
just a lot of positive chatter about it, because like remember, like after that, that's like the thing I really want the most, to be honest with you, just especially coming from where we have as like a fandom. It's like I want to come out of there and just be like yeah, like even if it's not,
you know what got that, I tell you, you know what got 95 the anticipation for it, Val Kilmer, to be honest, coming off of Tombstone. I mean, Tombstone's a classic movie, and he was a big deal with Tombstone.
All the 90s bigwigs were in that movie.
And Jim Carrey. I'm just telling you, that's why. Yes, it did. Batman Forever's a hit, man. People don't realize how much a big deal it was in 95.
It's goofy, it's campy, but it's great. It is, it's enjoyable.
Yeah. All right, so that will catch us up. We'll see what happens. 2022 is going to be a fun year, no matter. I can't wait. I'm super excited for this year as a Batman fan. And that's not even counting, you know, we may even get, I don't know, at some point we may be getting that new animated series on HBO Max this year. I don't know if they've set a date for that or not. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good year. I'm excited. And I think that's all I got. So, Pete, plug away.
You can follow me on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Zack Snyder's favorite Vero at Pete Illustrated. You can follow podcast number one, Straight of Gotham, at @straight_o_g. It's a podcast that co-hosts Eric Holzman. You can follow podcast number two, the Italian Spider-Man Coalition podcast. It's a podcast I co-host with Nico and Nick Caruso. That's Italians for Spidey. Check out Straight Outta Gotham on Facebook. We have a page and a Facebook group. They're both fun. Check out at Team Yellow Oval. That's fun on Twitter. Check out my reviews of Detective Comics. Detective Comics is now weekly, so we'll be seeing a lot of each other.
Hey, real quick, what's the deal with that?
I have no idea. It's the new event. They didn't do a giant mega crossover mega title event, so they did 12 issues in a row. 12 weekly issues of Detective Comics. It's one big giant Batman event with Batman not in Gotham. So.
12 weeks weekly. Yeah.
Shadows of the Bat.
So 3 months.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot. So my reviews are up for that. Shadow of the Bat number one and the latest issue of Detective Comics. Week one was yesterday. So here we go. Check out Batman on YouTube for my interview with Michael Uslan. I got Tara Strong and Kevin Conroy up there. Lots of good stuff. And make sure you check out the Batman Podcast Network portion of batmanonfilm.com for their other great shows.
Yes. Did you, what was your favorite Batman comic book story last year?
That is a very good question.
It could be a single issue story in a monthly, bi-month, whatever, you know, regular Detective Batman. It could be some of the Black Label stuff. It could be, you know, whatever.
It's tough because
prestige stuff.
Doing the monthly review show at Lauer, I read everything anyway, but it's like everything blends together. Oh man, I'm trying to think. I just want to say Three Jokers, even though it came out probably like 2 years ago. I'm looking around. Did I buy something? Like nothing stands out. I want to say as good as Three Jokers, but I think the Legends of the Dark Knight, that title that's recently been published, I think it's like 8 issues in, has been really good. Detective finally took a dip. Batman's taken a dip for a while. That book's really good. So I would say that's probably been my best book of 2021 was Legends of the Dark Knight.
Did you read the Imposter?
I think that's good. I think it's very good. I do. But Legends of the Dark Knight is a little bit more fun, more Batman, a little bit more comic booky, whereas Imposter is very, you know, focused and zoned in and grounded, you know, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, the story was written fabulously. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed what they did with Leslie Tompkins. I thought that was brilliant.
Did you like, go ahead.
More fun.
Did you like Batman the Detective?
No, didn't like it at all.
Did not? Really?
No, I didn't. I told Lauer too. I was like the only one who didn't enjoy that book. Did not enjoy it. And I love Tom Taylor. I was very disappointed in that book.
Wow, I really liked it. And I'm one of those that doesn't like Batman out of Gotham. you know?
Yeah, usually that doesn't bother me, but having him, like, I don't like the Grant Morrison, like, universe of Batman with, like, the English Squire and, I don't know, the London Knight or whatever he's called. You know, like, that stuff
Knight and Squire.
So dumb. Oh, it's so dumb to me. I don't like it. So the instance that Squire is there, I'm like, oh, this is hard. Meanwhile, you know, I'm like, oh, the cool, this looks like Batfleck. I love this guy.
I'll admit that I've said it. I'm not a big Grant Morrison Batman
Confuses fan, the hell out of you.
But I do, okay, I did like where he, you know, he drew the, you know, Batman Incorporated and whatever, Batman Inc., and he pulled that was, you know, stuff from the Silver Age. I did like, you know.
He did his homework. I'll give him credit.
I like, what was it, the League of Batman back in the 50s. I kind of like that. I like that part, you know, Knight and Squire, and was it El Gaucho, and there's some others, you know, that are part of the League of Batman. So I like the,
not really my thing. Hobby loves that stuff.
The nod. I like the nod to the Silver Age stuff. So, all right, that's all I got. Look, just go to Batman on Film. You can find whatever you want with me. Things I write, things I say, Twitter. Things
get people fired up.
The whole nine yards, whatever. So, hey, I'm Mr. Positive this year because
we are in a good place. I haven't been this happy. Because
2022 is going to be awesome for Batman fans. If you're not hashtagging your ass off every day and you can enjoy 2022, it's going to be really fun. That's what I would recommend. Stop hashtagging, enjoy the Batman, enjoy the Flash, enjoy everything that Batman does.
I mean, I'm hashtagging the Batman's coming.
Oh, let's do that. All right. So for Pete, I am Bill. Thanks for listening on this very short, I guess semi-short, Batman on Film Social Hour, and we will catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Batman on Film Social Hour, Jet's official BOF podcast and vlog. Follow Jet on Twitter at Batman on Film. For BOF news only on Twitter, follow at The Batman on Film. For Jet and everyone at BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Authoritative, definitive, the original. Batman on Film.